Here's Galchenyuk dancing and scores! And now it's Gallagher. Gallagher stepping in there, shoots, scores! Alex Galchenyuk up with a drop, Plekanec, he's in alone, waiting, scores!
Well, let me see, ladies and gentlemen, Galchenyuk, no, turn up yet!
Oh, my stars, what a stop by Carey Price, Robin Sidney Crosby!
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net with your host, Chris G.
Hi everyone, welcome to episode 182 of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, December 31st, 2016. My name is Chris G and you can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980. Today's episode is part 2 of our best of episodes, as we'll bring you some of the best moments of the season. We're going to replay our interview with Louis Jean from TVA Sport and my discussion with Rick about the Canadiens, how they'll manage during Alex Galchenyuk's and David Dernier's absence. But first, we're going to start with a discussion that I had on November 19th with John Bartlett, voice of the Canadiens on Rogers Sportsnet. At that time, the Canadiens were on a three-game losing streak. It was the first slump of the season, and I asked John if he saw similarities to last season and if it's time to panic.
Well, no, I don't think it's any time to panic. I mean, the ending of last year obviously was not something anybody saw coming at this point of the season, but also there was a much different factor involved when you had the loss of Carey Price and everything else that happened from there. But, everyone, of course, it's amazing to think three in a row, and one of them being an overtime game and one being a bad luck in Chicago with the puck going off the netting and out, and all of a sudden there's time to panic. But it's not really with the way the team has started. They've put some good points in the bank. And right now I think they're just starting to get into a situation where they've got to start working out some of the kinks that they have in the system. And, you know, and when you look at how they sort of started, and everyone was really happy with the production that was coming from the third and fourth line, and people like Torrey Mitchell were scoring, and Jeff Petrie was getting goals, and how that was all coming together, and the third line was producing, but the big guns weren't producing, and that maybe was going to catch up to them. And that's probably the point they're at right now, is when the third and fourth line guys aren't scoring, a game like last night is where you want to lean on, you know, goals from Plekanec and Pacioretty and, you know, sort of have your top lines giving you a little more production, and it didn't come from there. So I think that's now just sort of the balancing out of everything, and we're getting a little bit more of a sense as to where the team's at and what they're going to have to do and what they're going to have to try and improve as they move forward here. But definitely not a time to panic, that's for sure. Just a time to start making some of the adjustments that they're going to need to make.
And you spoke about the scoring in general since the beginning of the season has come primarily from everybody except the top six forwards. Weber has 7, Paul Byron has 6, Matt Dano has 5, Torrey Mitchell has 5 goals. And if I look at players like, let's say, Brendan Gallagher, he hasn't scored a goal in his last 12 games. Like, let's talk about specifically about Gallagher. Like, what do you think is going on with him?
Well, I don't know if anything's going wrong. I think it's just a case of being a little snake bit right now, and just trying to sort of find that lucky bounce to get him going, and that extra. Usually, he's the kind of guy. He gets one, and then he gets rolling, and that's sort of the situation, I think, for Brendan Gallagher. He just needs a goal, and he'll start finding the back of the net and going to the dirty areas. But, you know, an interesting little change in the concept maybe of the team this year is Brendan Gallagher used to be sort of the big spark plug for the team. He was a guy that energized everyone when he was in the lineup. And now Alexander Radulov has done that to a big extent. He's been out the last couple of games. So maybe it's a bit of a change here in the guard, if you will, for now at least, as to who was sort of firing the team up and getting them going on the ice, in a sense. And that was sort of Gallagher's old role, and Radulov seemed to have taken that over a bit. But I think for Brendan Gallagher, the goals are going to come. He's a kind of hard-nosed player. He's always going to net, always causing the traffic. So he has pucks that just go off him and in, and he causes a lot of great opportunities. So a little bit of a struggle right now for Brendan Gallagher, but nothing on his side, I think, that, you know, you'd have to be too worried about, as long as he's still playing the right way and causing that traffic and being someone to stir the pot in front of the net. It's going to come for him.
And since Mark Bergevin joined the Canadiens, it's 4 or 5 years ago, he's always been trying to fill to get a top six forward to help with the offense. Daniel Briere, P.A. Paronto, there was Thomas Vanek after the trade deadline that was acquired. There was Alex Semin last year. And so when the signing of Alex Radulov was announced on July 1st, you know, Habs fans were skeptic. Like, is this like another risky player, another risky signing that Marc Bergevin is doing? But if you look at, let's take last night's lineup for the Canadiens. Without Radulov in the lineup, that team offensively doesn't look that dangerous without him.
Well, they haven't won with him not in the lineup, so that says a little something about him right there. And you're right, he brings that offensive dynamic, and he was going to be the question mark. And if he panned out, it was going to be a great signing for Marc Bergevin, and so far it seems to be. And you're right, they needed that little extra help up offensively. And I guess when you look at the lineup right now, they still probably could use a little more. But Radulov certainly has panned out. I think he's turned out to be the player they were hoping he would be, and the production coming from him and his love of the game, the spark he has, just so excited to be around the rink all the time and with the guys. So that's a great sign right there that he has that passion for the game. And it certainly has worked out for now, and I think they definitely have missed him. I think moving forward, they still need to get a little more help up front. I think that Radulov is going to be a good thing, but they know that they need a little more. And, you know, the reality of the situation right now for the Canadiens, too, is they know they're in the window. This is the window to try and win. And you look at the moves that they've made, including the Shea Weber trade with P.K. Subban. And I know some people like to talk about that trade and say, wait till 3 years. Well, 3 years from now doesn't matter for the Canadiens, because their chance to win, their time to win is now, and they know that. So I think the moves that they'll make moving forward here, they realize they could probably use a little more help on the blue line, and that they could still use in maybe another top six forward if they could get their hands on one to really bolster the offense even more. And don't be surprised if this is the year where the Canadiens, you know, either make a deal with some young players to try and get that help for right now, or come to the realization it's time to move on from a couple of the veterans, because they're going to have to make those moves to compare themselves to not just the best teams in the East, but also in the West. And that's sort of the situation they're in right now. And so Radulov certainly has turned out to be a good addition from that side of things, but there's some other players that have to pick up the production a little, or else they're going to be looking at trying to find some help elsewhere as well.
One of those players that I think needs to step up his production is the Canadiens captain, Max Pacioretty. He has 2 goals, if I'm not mistaken, almost 4 goals this season. So that's half of his production that, you know, we're expecting. Okay, everybody's expecting for 40 goals, but he usually averages between 30, 35. He's not on pace for that. Do you think that has to do anything with the pressure of being captain, or maybe even the arrival of Shea Weber in the dressing that maybe is intimidating or putting some extra pressure on him?
Well, I don't know if it's extra pressure. I think he's probably got enough pressure he puts on himself, and Max sort of carries that weight all the time on his shoulders, and maybe that stems from the World Cup and how it started for Team USA. But, I think for Max, he's always been a bit of a streaky scorer. So it's just sort of he's starting on a downswing maybe this year. And if he gets one, then another one will come, and we'll see how it goes tonight against Toronto. He always seems to have success scoring against the Leafs. So maybe that's what he's been waiting for. But, I think Max just needs to get one or two on the board, and then they'll start coming for him. And but the one thing about Pacioretty, and this might be the element of his game that'll come just with getting that confidence back, is it needs to be a little bit more net presence and driving to the net. The far perimeter shots all the time, he's got a heck of a shot, but I don't know if you want to rely on that all the time as much as maybe you'd like to, you know, try to drive the net, force things a little more. So that's one element of his game I think that they'd like to see a little bit more out of him, is be that kind of power forward. But for Max, so like I said, so streaky, sometimes it just takes a couple of goals, and he gets rolling. And I think that that's what they're waiting for. But you're right. In a game like last night, when, you know, that lower four or the lower six aren't getting the production, and you're looking to your top six, and then they can't produce, granted that Cam Ward had a pretty solid night in net as well. But, you know, I think that that's a situation there where you're kind of hoping that one of your top six forwards are going to get you the goal that you need at the key time.
If we look at that defenseman, Craig Patterson, he played about 11 minutes last night. So several moments during the game, he was being sat on the bench, and either Shea Weber or another defenseman was taking his spot. But if you look at Craig Patterson since the beginning of the season, at one point the Canadians wanted to take a look at Sergachev, while Patterson was the player that was pulled out of the lineup. They called up Joel Hanley from St. John's. Craig Patterson was pulled out of the lineup. Do you think the fact that he's always being in and out of the lineup is affecting his confidence?
Yeah, you know, for sure. And I think that that's sort of the situation. And I know he had that tough shift last night that led to a goal with a couple of giveaways in the first that you're alluding to. And that's kind of limited it as ice time a bit throughout the game. But, you know, it's really tough. And Jason York and I were talking about this after the game last night. It's really tough for a defenseman when you have that sort of feeling of looking over your shoulder on every play and worried that even a small mistake is going to get put on the bench and maybe taken out of the lineup when you're that, you know, sort of bubble guy right now. And that seems to be what Patterson is. I know that Michel Therrien talked about the transition game, and that's what they wanted Greg Patterson to work on, was the transition game and try to help with that. But, you know, I think you can't help being a little tighter with your game when you have that in the back of your mind, that any mistake might put you back in the press box. And it's very tough, as Jason was saying, especially when you're a defenseman. It's very tough to play that way when you don't have that sort of freedom in your mind to say, it's okay, relax, just go play your game. Do what you have to do and let things kind of happen. So I think Greg Patterson's a solid player, solid defenseman. I think he could be a very a good part of the puzzle, piece to the puzzle for the Canadians. But, yeah, it's just he just needs to have that relaxed confidence right now. And it's tough to do that, you know, when you have that pressure on you all the time of any little mistake might take you back out of the lineup. So it'll be interesting to see moving forward how they proceed with Greg Patterson.
And another positive aspect of the Canadians this season compared to last year has been the power play. So far, they're sixth in the league. Is that, do you think it's only because of Shea Weber, or have you seen any difference in the tactics that are used on the power play?
Well, Shea Weber's a big part of it, for starters, obviously. He has that big shot from the point, and they work it up high and can get it to him. But I think Kirk Muller's done a lot of work with the power play, and the power play has improved, but there's more to come, and that simply is because they've got more work to do, and one of the things they're trying to do is more movement, for starters. They're not so stationary, which is, you know, something to help. But also, the other thing they're trying to work on are more plays down low. I mean, you know, the power play for so many years, even with Subban, was all about get it up high and fire the shot, and to an extent it's the same way with Shea Weber. But I think now they're trying to get more movement on it and set up more plays down low and create some scoring opportunities that way. And part of that is learning how to be more of a quarterback on the half boards when you're on the power play. And that's sort of what they're learning at right now, or learning about, I guess you could say. And the learning curve is still coming along. So the power play has improved, but I think that there's still more to come. And you'll see more production out of the power play in the next little while as they continue to work on the ability to create plays down low. And that seems to be something Muller's really focused in on right now with the special teams unit. So you have an extra option other than always going back up high and driving it to net and going in.
That was John Bartlett, voice of the Montreal Canadiens, on Rogers Sportsnet. The power play was a storyline in November, and it continues to be a storyline now as we head into January. Still to come, my discussion with Rick about the injury to Alex Galchenyuk, but coming up next, we will replay our conversation with Louis Jean from TVA Sports. Stay with us, this is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. Their mission is to build a worldwide network of sports fans who are informed, engaged, entertained, and connected. Learn more about RSM, its team, and its portfolio of brands at rocketsportsmedia.com.
Hi, I'm Chris G. The Habs 360 podcast and Anthony from r2canvas.com are pleased to announce the return of the Habs contest this season. The contest will run during every Habs home game in the regular season and will give you the opportunity to win a great prize courtesy of art2canvas.com. Listen to the Habs 360 podcast and follow Habs 360 and Habs Happy on Twitter for more details. And for high quality canvas art at a reasonable price, visit art2canvas.com. Good luck.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team. If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. We are specifically interested in individuals who have education and/or experience in the following areas: sports writing, translation, editing, forum administration, social media administration, multimedia, graphic design, web development and user support, event planning, and sponsorship and marketing. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, visit allhabs.net and click the Join Our Team tab today.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Welcome back to episode 182, a special best of episode of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, December 31st, 2016. My name is Chris Jean. You can find me on Twitter at ChrisJean1980. On November 12th, we were joined by Louis Jean, hockey host for TVA Sports, and at the time the Canadiens had a record of 12-1-1. I asked Louis if the Habs are an elite team.
Well, I think there's no question they're going to. I think, they're going to be very, very competitive. They're not going to be as dominant as what we're seeing. I mean, these are ridiculous numbers. The statistics, as you mentioned, I mean, they're pretty much first or competing for first in several categories. They've got the best plus-minus player. They've got the winningest goaltender right now in the NHL. They've got the best home record. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going well for the Montreal Canadiens. Is it realistic that they continue like this? Is it realistic that they, you know, continue to just cruise the way they have been so far? No, it's not, because it's a marathon. It's 82 games. They've been relatively healthy. They haven't lost anybody impactful anyways so far to start the season, and so I think that makes a big difference as well for them. So, I mean, yes, I think they're going to be extremely competitive. I think that when you've got a guy like Carey Price, and I was at the morning skate again this morning, heading, you know, ahead of the tilt against the Detroit Red Wings, and they are impressive, and Carey Price is impressive. He just seems like he's, you know, in such control in front of the net. I don't know what it would be like for an opposing player to line up and know that you're going up against Carey Price. He must be in your head, because he is just that good. He is that confident, and he makes that big of a difference. So as long as he's there, as long as they stay relatively healthy, I think what you see is what you get. Maybe not winning at a percentage that they are right now, but I definitely think they're going to continue to be a team, a force to be reckoned with in the Eastern Conference, because, you know, Carey Price makes them that much better. And they've got a lot of depth. I mean, you know, Mark Bergevin made some pretty slick moves in acquiring a guy like Alexander Radulov and holding on to a guy like Paul Byron and, you know, bringing in some talent even on the blue line. So I really think that, you know, we haven't seen much from a guy like Andrew Shaw so far, but I get that, you know, to me, sometimes the adjustment period varies from player to player, but I'm quite impressed by what I see from this team.
And speaking of Andrew Shaw, in our first segment before you came on, I was talking about how it seems like Andrew Shaw, since that, to me, it coincides with the time where he had that educational talk, is I think what they said with Stéphane Quintal. It seems since then like we haven't seen much from him in the preseason, even though I wasn't a fan of how he reacted during that fight there in the preseason game against the Capitals, and then there was that slew foot in the season. But since then, we haven't seen him.
Well, you know what? To me, we haven't seen the real Andrew Shaw at all, to be honest. And I don't know. Maybe we'll see him tonight. Maybe that happens when he faces his former team tomorrow in Chicago. You know, you talk about, you know, the discussion he had with Stéphane Quintal To me, to be brutally honest, even before then, I didn't feel that he was, having the kind of impact that he should. But again, I mean, sometimes it's funny. You see guys leave markets where they were comfortable, where they, they won, they had success. They come into a situation where all of a sudden, to a certain degree, they're going to be asked to do more than they did before. He comes into Montreal, everybody's talking about his two Stanley Cups and his championships and the fact that he was a pest, but a guy that had an impact with the Chicago Blackhawks. And when you look at the talent the Chicago Blackhawks had, you say, well, he must be a heck of a player. He must have had tremendous character if he was able to, to have the kind of impact that he had with Taves and Kane and Tanner and Anisimov and Keith and Seabrook and Crawford and all those players in Chicago. And so perhaps to a certain degree he's changed things, or, he feels that he needs to play a bit of a different way because he needs to have an impact with the Montreal Canadiens and he needs to do more than he did before. And I think that would be a mistake. But again, it's still early in the season, and the good thing is that the Canadiens are winning, and so he can kind of figure it out as things go along here. As long as the Canadiens continue to win, it shouldn't be an issue.
Philippe Danault has had a great, I think the entire season has been good, but in particular the last week, and he got promoted to the third line, and that pushed David Darnay to the press box.
Yep.
Do you think this means that Darnay's now the odd man out?
Well, he is right now, for sure. But, I mean, look, how can you bet against a guy like David Darnay, who, he was never drafted into the NHL, had to fight and claw his way into the league and prove himself? All he's done his entire career is prove himself. And, look, I mean, is he perfect? No, he's not. Is he as productive as they hoped that he would be? No. But he's a guy, to me, that has just shown such character and resiliency his entire career, that for me, I just can't say that it's over, that you need to get rid of him, that you need to trade him, because I think that those attributes that brought him into the NHL and made him get the contract that he has right now and gave him a measure of success are what's going to, what drive him. And so he's not the biggest player. He's a guy who just doesn't shoot a lot, and it's, I think it's always sort of been the knock on David Darnay that he sees the ice extremely well. He's made a lot of players around him produce and score goals, but he's become predictable because he doesn't shoot. He just doesn't take any shots on net, and so you always know he's looking for the pass instead of looking at taking a shot and trying to score a goal. And so, for me, is he the odd man out? Yeah, he is, and he's going to sit out again tonight against the Detroit Red Wings. But I just think that, because of the, all the things that I mentioned before and the character that he's always had, I mean, to me, you just can't bet against a guy like that.
What's going on with Max Pacioretty? He's on the third line. He scored two goals this season. Do you think he's injured? Like, what do you think is going on with him? Or is it maybe the pressure of him being captain? What do you think is going on?
That's a really good question, and I think he's probably wondering himself what's going on. I would never question a player's commitment. I would never question a player's desire. I think that if you make it to the NHL, you have that. And the reason that you made it is because you were able to make all the sacrifices that are required to have success in the NHL. But look, he just doesn't look the same. He's not as explosive. I used to think for a while that he was probably going to be a Selke, a Selke finalist year in and year out, because not only would he drive the net and go around the D and get those great shots on net and score important goals for the Canadiens, he would also come in, always really back check hard and play very well defensively. We're not seeing that at either end right now for some reason. I don't know if it's because he's hurt, if it's because he just hasn't been able to find a groove personally, or if it's because of, perhaps the teammates that he's had, that he's unable to find the chemistry that he needs. But look, I mean, he's the captain of this team. He cares about the organization. He wants to win so bad, that I can assure you. But I know that it must be extremely, extremely difficult for him not to be able to produce to his potential right now. That must be very difficult. And this morning, you wouldn't know by looking at him in the locker room. You wouldn't know it by, the interactions that he has with us in the media. But there's no question, I know for sure, this is really bothering him, and he can't wait to break out. But, I mean, there's no question in my mind that being said, that, you know, he's a guy that's still capable of scoring 30 to 35, 40 goals a year. And it's just, you know, sometimes when you score, they come in bunches, and when you're snake bitten, it just, you know, it's nothing works for you.
And what do you think got Craig Pattern out of the lineup? He's going to be out again tonight for a second game in a row against the Red Wings. I thought he's been having a good season, but I guess the coach doesn't agree with me.
Yeah, well, you know what? I sort of agree with you, to be frank. I actually liked what I saw from him, and I find that he's progressed. And what I like about him, I think, is to me, he works on his game so much. I think he does have tremendous potential, but he's, you know, he's a guy that's sort of pigeonholed into that, you know, 5-6 spot. I mean, he's, you know, he's had a tough time sort of proving that he could be more than that, but he's a content pro. You know, he always shows up. He works extremely hard. He's not going to make waves. That's just not his style. And he, you know, I think they like Hanley. I think they probably liked what they saw. To me, anyways, the biggest test of the year on Thursday against the LA Kings, and Hanley showed me a lot. I was quite impressed by him, to be honest with you. So, you know, I think they're not going to change a winning lineup, so that's why he's not in tonight. That's why Desharnais is not playing tonight, but I don't think it's going to be very long either before we see both of those guys back in the lineup. I think they like Pattern, but to a certain degree, you know, they've got the guys that you know aren't going to get scratched. I mean, Weber's never going to get scratched. Yedlin is a guy that could be, but he's playing very good hockey right now. And so right now he's safe, obviously, as well. And Markov has done so much. There's no way he's going to get, you know, sent up to the press box. So sometimes you go with the guys that have less experience. They have a shorter leash. That's sort of how it works in the NHL.
One last question, Louis, before we let you go. This morning I did a search on Twitter. I know it's my reliable sources. I did a search for fire Terry tweets, and there was actually tweets there from fans asking for Terry to get fired, and I think we're all guilty about it. But my question is, will Michel Terry ever get any credit for the team's success?
Well, he deserves a lot of credit for the success of this team right now, and as does you know, a guy like Mark Bergevin. I mean, say what you will. I mean, he felt last year that you know, what happened, the face plant, the debacle, call it what you want. It didn't sit well with him. He wasn't happy with the way things went, and so he decided to make changes, and he made some significant changes. And when you're trading a superstar like Dickey Subban, I'm telling you, you're really exposing yourself to criticism. But you got to give him credit for making the moves that he did, and you got to give a guy like Michel Therrien credit as well, because as you mentioned, I mean, you know, there's always going to be haters. It's like that in Montreal. You're never going to be able to appeal and appease everyone. That's just never going to happen, not in a hockey-mad market like Montreal. I'd be curious to see, you know, if you were to look at Fire Blashill or Fire Bob Babcock or Fire whoever, whichever other coach in the NHL, I'll bet you'd probably find some, because there's always going to be people and fans that prefer something, you know, other than other thing. And so, but you're right. I think you bring a really good point, because Michel Therrien had a tremendous amount of pressure at the beginning of the season. Look, if the Canes didn't get off to the start they did, if they were a 500 team, there would be tremendous pressure. There would be huge outcry from the fan base that, look, you know, trade this guy, trade that guy, the coach is no good, his system is terrible. But look, I mean, it's hard to argue with success. And so I'm happy for a guy who, you know, it took him a while to get back in the NHL, but he certainly made the most of it. And what impresses me the most about Michel Therrien is probably the fact that he just seems so comfortable in front of the media. You played that rant from the other day. I was there during the press conference after practice. And he just seems extremely confident and comfortable in his own shoes. He's comfortable in what he's doing, in the decisions that he's making. Things are going very well. I think he was probably feeling a little stressed after that 10-0 shellacking against the Columbus Blue Jackets, who wouldn't be. But his team responded. It wasn't necessarily their best game, but they found a way to win. And, you know, they had their best effort of the season, to me, against the Kings on Thursday. And so give the GM credit, give the coach credit, and give the guys in the room a ton of credit, because ultimately they're the ones getting it done. And they know that last year didn't look good on anybody, and they want to make amends.
And just for the record, I did a search for Fire Babcock, and I did find some tweets.
There we go. Search like that across the board.
That was Louis Jean, hockey host for TV Sports. And regardless if the Canadians are on a 10-game winning streak or last three games in a row, someone will be tweeting using the Fire Terrain hashtag. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we'll replay a discussion I had with Rick about the Alex Galchenyuk injury. Stay with us. This is the Habs 360 podcast featured on allhabs.net.
For the most trusted source of news, analysis, and features about the Montreal Canadiens, their affiliates, and their prospects, log in to allhabs.net, your year-round resource for anything Habs-related. That's allhabs.net.
If you missed a recent episode of the Habs 360 podcast, visit the podcast page on allhabs.net or search Habs 360 on iTunes for our archives. Want to make sure you never miss another episode? Subscribe to Habs 360 on iTunes and all new episodes will automatically download for you.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. In addition, we also offer sponsorship opportunities for fan events and featured areas of website content, giving you name and logo recognition. Visit rocketsportsmedia.com to contact us for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity. Habs 360 is proud to be a partner of Rocket Sports Media, digital media publishers of sports and entertainment websites. In addition to building a worldwide network of sports fans, the team at RSM is also dedicated to mobilizing the sports community in ways that make a difference in the lives of others. Giving back to the community bridges the gap between team affiliations. It's something any fan can support. RSM proudly provided support for organizations and projects like Hockey Fights Cancer, Five Hole for Food, the Montreal Canadiens Children's Foundations, Autism Speaks, Leukemia and Lymphoma Society of Canada, and the People of Canada Portrait Project, just to name a few. If you would like to be involved with a Rocket Power project or have a worthy fundraising initiative you'd like us to be part of, please contact us at rocketsportsmedia.com.
This is the Habs 360 podcast, featured on allhabs.net.
Welcome back to episode 192, a special best of episode of the Habs 360 podcast for this Saturday, December 31st, 2016. My name is Chris Jean. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisJean1980. In early December, the Canadiens lost Alex Galchenyuk and David Dernais due to injury for a period of 6 to 8 weeks. On a December 10th episode, I was talking with Rick Stevens, editor-in-chief and owner of the All Habs Network of Sites, about the impact of these injuries. But first, let's hear Canadiens captain Max Pacioretty talking about the impact of Galchenyuk's injury.
I know when a guy like Galchenyuk goes down, we're going to need people to step up, especially through the middle. So, you know, it's going to be a big challenge, but I think guys are ready to prove that we have the depth in this organization that we feel we have.
So Max Pacioretty talking about depth there, you know, he can't say the opposite. He can't say that, you know what, we're going to be in trouble now. GM, go get us another player. But he did come out Thursday night with a strong game against the New Jersey Devils, a 5-2 win. But Rick, now as we're talking, for when it comes to Galchenyuk and Dernais, at least 6 weeks, so 6 to 8 weeks, the Canadiens have what it takes internally to survive the next 8 weeks? Or do you think Mark Bergevin right now needs to go make a trade to try to compensate for the two losses?
I would say no to both. That's the real difficulty here, and the reason I chose the way I did last segment. It's a terrible time to make a trade. Terrible time. You're going to pay an awful lot extra than Bergevin would have had to give up in the summer. It's just an awful time to make a trade. And your options are so much more limited. But do they have, you know, the players internally to backfill? Well, maybe they would have, but you know, Mike McCarron has played his entire season so far in the AHL. After having he was dominant in the preseason from the rookie camp right through to Habs training camp. He won the third line center position, and then he was tossed down to the St. John's Ice Caps, and it affected him. He was suspended for a couple games. He had an injury for a few games. It's really affected his play. He played exceptionally well last night, coming back after missing two games. He got a goal, but he was in on all the goals. He had 8 shots on goal last night. He was terrific. But he would have benefited from being in the Canadiens lineup all season, having earned that position coming out of camp. So they're in a real tough spot right now because Bergevin didn't shore up the weakness down the middle, and Therrien hasn't allowed the players to develop to fill in that position. Part of it, you correctly mentioned that need more from Thomas Plekanec. And having said that, he played one of his best games. He's the last couple of games, actually, he's been much, much better. But let me ask that question that nobody's asking, and do they miss Lars Eller? Was that a bad move when you are already small up the middle to move a guy who has size, who has skill, who's a talented skater, a tremendous possession player? Nobody's paying attention to Lars Eller, and you know, I wish Lars Eller all the best in with the Capitals this year. But did you know that he is one of the top possession players in the NHL right now? He's top 10 in possession numbers right now, among right up there with Bergeron, Kopitar, Crosby. He's not putting up the offensive numbers, but the point is, Lars Eller last year or in previous years would take part of the defensive load from Thomas Plekanec. Thomas Plekanec right now has to go up against all of the opposition's best centers. At least that was being split. So is there an explanation for the fact that Thomas Plekanec doesn't have has poor scoring numbers this year? Maybe there is. And I understand, Darren A's terrible defensively. Dano's weak right now. His defensive game is evolving. So all the load falls to Thomas Plekanec. And I think the absence of Lars Eller, as crazy as some people would find that, is partly to explains the difficulties that Plekanec is having. I understand he's had chances, he's missed them. His confidence doesn't seem to be there. I acknowledge all that. But also in part of that list to explain the play from Thomas Plekanec is the absence of Lars Eller.
So, Rick, I think you're crazy. When it comes to,
I know you do.
When it comes to Lars Eller, I agree that, you know, it probably has an impact on Thomas Plekanec. You know, maybe it's preventing him from getting a couple more points. But if we would look, Lars Eller right now with these current injuries to the Montreal Canadiens, with Galchenyuk with David Dernier not playing as well, would Lars Eller help offensively? Like I know Lars Eller, he's great defensively. We have Plekanec who could do that job right now. But when it comes to the offense, I don't think that Lars Eller would help the Montreal Canadiens right now in this kind of in situation.
I'm just saying that missing Eller is part of the puzzle. It's part of the puzzle, and they did nothing to, you either go out and get somebody to fill in there, or you develop. And I'm going to leave Darnay right off the list. I don't think Darnay, he's going to be missing for the next 6 or 8 weeks. He's been missing since the beginning of the season. Let's talk about, we've talked about Plekanec's lack of offense. What about Darnay's? He's been pitiful. We talked about last week his two chip-ins, his goals. He has 3 goals, 6 assists, 9 points. Of his 6 assists, do you know how many were primary assists? 1. Just 1. Again, he's the king of padding his points, the king of secondary assists, the king of happening to being on the ice when other players do good things. He has 5 secondary assists. He's been terrible this season. And again, that's Therrien wanted Darnay in that third slot, the third center slot, rather than Mike McCarron. I think it was a big mistake. And right now, it's going to be tough on McCarron and Dano and everybody who's asked to fill in, given that Darnay was occupying that slot for the first quarter of the season.
I'm not going to dispute that, David, because I totally agree that, you know, his time, we're seeing his final moments with the Montreal Canadiens this season. I would be shocked if he does come back. When it comes to next player, Canadiens acquiring a player to or develop a player to become a next Lars Eller, I think that's what the acquisition of Phil Dano was last season. And even, if I remember correctly, I think it was at a post-mortem where Mark Bergevin was asked, the fact that Phil Dano was acquired, so it must have been after the draft then, that Lars Eller was available because of Dano, and he said yes. So that just shows that that's what Bergevin's intention was with the acquisition of Phil Dano. And when it comes to Michael McCarron, I agree that if you would have started the season off with the Montreal Canadiens right now, he'd be able to help out more the team, have a bigger impact during the absence of Alex Galchenyuk. But even if he was here from day one of the regular season, like, no way, like, we would be able to expect him to replace Alex Galchenyuk as a team's number one center either.
No,
but is that
no,
what the
I
expectation
agree.
Would be? Okay. So
I'm just saying that it helps your depth. Plekanec is the only one who can move in and replace Galchenyuk right now. And, you know, I'd like to see them better use Lehkonen in a role somehow with Radulov. I think it's a puzzle. I think it's a puzzle, and right now the Canadiens are short some pieces, and that had to do with the way they planned, that they didn't go out and get somebody, or they didn't effectively develop what they had in-house.
Yeah, so I agree. I think the Canadiens, like, they do need a trade, but it's not the time to do it. So I guess I'm saying that, no, that I'm agreeing with Rick indirectly, so that's what, uh-oh, I guess, upsetting me right now. Because if they do it right now, they'll have to overpay, because they know that the Canadiens would be desperate. Now, we've inside Thursday night game at the Bell Center, there was 20 scouts at the game. So they were saying, members from the media, that this is the most that they've seen at the Bell Center, that the people even had to stand up. There was representatives from Dallas, Vegas. Okay, Vegas were there for other reasons, of course. The Ducks, Carolina, the Blackhawks, the Devils, Nashville, Tampa Bay, Columbus, Vancouver, Arizona, San Jose, Buffalo, LA, and Calgary. So it's a lot of teams that were in town on Thursday, and I'm sure a lot of them had to do with, you know, let's go check out the Canadiens in case Bergevin gives them a call for a player or two. And players that will need to step up, you know, Max Pacioretty, we found out what the reason was, that maybe he wasn't playing as well recently, just because he had the hairline fracture. And while the last 3 games, Max Pacioretty has scored 3 goals. So are we going to see now that he's healed the Max Pacioretty that we know, the Max Pacioretty that scores 35 to 40 goals? If that's the case, this would be the time right now where he needs to get hot, to get back into that pace that he is able to score. We mentioned Pleka Netsiata. Good, he played good the last couple of games, so he needs to keep it up as well. Brendan Gallagher, he hasn't produced offensively, so he'll need to step it up as well. And when it comes to Alex Radulov, well, he needs to continue doing how he's been playing. And well, if all these guys are successful or and they step it up and they produce, the Canadians, I think, will manage well during the 6 to 8 week absence of Galchenyuk and David Dernier. And while the Canadians have done better than a lot of us expected so far with their number one center out with his injury. That'll do it for this week's episode of the Habs 360 podcast. Hope you enjoyed some of our best moments that we played in last week's and today's episode. My name is Chris G. You can follow me on Twitter at ChrisG1980. Thank you for listening. Happy New Year and all the best for 2017. We'll be back next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern, for a live edition of the Habs 360 podcast. Take care.
For the latest news on the Montreal Canadiens, follow us on Twitter at Habs360 and visit allhabs.net.